As you're going to hear in this presentation, each party to a JOA, for purposes of this presentation, really wears two hats. They are a debtor to the other members or the other parties to the joint operating agreement, but they are, by the terms of the joint operating agreement, also a creditor of each party to that joint operating agreement. So more than once I've heard lawyers say, well, you know, I represent the deal. I don't really represent any particular party. I can tell you that there is case law and disciplinary committee rulings that say that that is a fiction. You cannot represent the deal. You do have at least one client in any transaction that you're involved in. And if you try to have more than one client, you better meet these rules under Rule 1.06 to have obtained the ability to represent more than one client. And I will tell you that my personal view of the world is that you're already in the deal, and then you start to see conflicts develop. That is, one side wants to change the document, and it may have an adverse effect on the others. And you now try to comply with the rule that says you get a written agreement after full disclosure. Quite frankly, I think you may be too late at that point, and you may have to disqualify yourself from being involved in the transaction at all. So against that background, let's go back to the JOA. And again, to try to honor the commitment that Eric made a minute ago to get you out of here on time, I think that all of you should familiarize yourselves with Article 7 of the Joint Operating Agreement. It is the linchpin for all of your rights as a secured creditor.